Amen. Thank you, Pastor G. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you, and welcome everyone watching online. I pray that this time is a blessing for you as we share these moments together. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, I invite you as always to speak through me and in spite of me, that my words might contain your truth, God. And today we open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, our minds. We open ourselves up to receive, and we give you this time. We ask that you would make with it what you will. God, we thank you that you have created us, that you have dreamed us up, that you have imagined the people that we would be, that you've brought us together to this place and to this time. God, we thank you for being our God, and we hope to live lives that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we're wrapping up our sermon series on dreams and visions. We've been in this sermon series for 5 weeks, and next week, please bring your Bibles if you can. If you have a Bible that you don't mind highlighting, underlining, we're going to study through the Gospel of Mark. I can hear your excitement. I know, right? Really? Through the Gospel of Mark. 12 weeks, we're going to be moving through the Gospel of Mark. How wonderful is it that a church would study through a gospel together? And you know, I'm sorry to make this joke. It's one of my favorite Gospels, maybe my top four. Damn, sorry, I can't resist making that joke every time. But no, it's going to be so nice to study that from our youngest to our most mature congregants. We're all going to be reading through the Gospel of Mark. So bring your Bibles next week. You'll want to take some notes and underline some things. But we've been talking about the dreams that God has placed on our heart, the visions that we have together for ourselves as God's children, for our congregation. And today, being the last week on this, we're talking about God's dream, God's vision for us. What is God's vision, God's dream for God's children? And the more that I think about it, the more that I could sort of sum that up or think about it in ways that we can sort of grab hold of, is to live lives that are pleasing to God. That would be what would be our vision, our dream of a life for our kids. It's just to live a life that's pleasing to God. God's hope for us. God's will for us. Sometimes said in the Bible like that, God's will for us. And so we considering that today. And there is an image that I have. It's this idea of making God smile. What would it look like for God to see our lives and to smile in that? And this picture of the laughing Christ is in my office. I have several pictures of Jesus that I love for different reasons. I have another favorite that my friend Karen made for me that's in my office right by my door. And this one is one that I believe my mom gave me this. I cherish this this image. And I see this image as one where when I have a chance to meet Jesus face to face, this is the way that I imagine him looking, just laughing and so joyful. It's the image of a Savior that says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home." It's this beautiful image of making God smile. What in your life makes God smile? We wonder about that. How do we do that? How do we live lives pleasing to God? So we go to Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, Thessalonians. And Paul says just that. I wanted to read from Thessalonians this morning, chapter 4, Living to Please God. He says, By the way, this is the first writings in the New Testament. Scholars believe, I found out this week studying Thessalonians, that perhaps this is the very first writing in our New Testament. That this would have been written maybe as early as 15 to 20 years after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And Paul is starting these little churches on his journeys, and he started the church in Thessalonica. And scholars believe that he's writing to the church from Corinth. So we kind of have to keep that in mind. He's writing from Corinth, and you can read more about that in Acts chapter 18, when Paul is in Corinth for 18 months. And he's gotten a really good report from the church in Thessalonica. They're doing the right things. There's some great things happening in Thessalonica, and Paul's really excited to hear this news, and so he's just kind of glowing, and he's writing about living a life pleasing to God. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave to you by the authority of Lord Jesus. So basically he's saying this is about living a life pleasing to God, and you, church, are doing this. There's stories of this happening. And so, great job. I love this affirmation. He starts off with this affirmation. He's not upset with them at all. And there's these little glimpses that you can see, and you can tell somebody, oh, you're doing a great job. And that just works out. I gotta brag on something that I saw this past week. The kids are coming back to school. I got a chance to stand outside as the kids and their parents are coming into the day school. And it was the sweetest thing, because their different kids are excited, you know. And I saw one kid that was not happy to go in, and he started clawing at the guardrails. It was so sad. And his parents, the dad was just kind of pacing around like, he's going to be okay, he'll be fine. Turns out he was fine. 20 minutes later, he's playing with Mr. Potato Head, doing just fine. But Miss Kristen, the love that she had and welcoming them in. But the thing that struck me was that the mom of the kid going in just sort of stood back and looked like she was about to cry. So Miss Kristen goes and she says, is it okay if I give you a hug? And they hugged, and there was this moment of absolute pure joy and love. And I saw it with my own eyes, and all I could say was, great job. Keep up the good work. You're doing this awesome thing, that you're living a life pleasing to God. So that's kind of what Paul's saying. He's calling him out. He's saying, great job. And so I wanted to start by saying, if you're living a life pleasing to God already, then good job. And that doesn't come from the pastors telling you that. Paul says it doesn't come from me. That's the instructions that we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on from there. So if you're already doing a great job at this, then this is not, the next part's not for you so much as just to keep in mind and to keep doing the good thing. But he says this in verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, anytime you're going through your Bible and you're reading through and you get to the words, it is God's will, that's something that you might highlight. You might highlight that. You might bookmark it. You might have your Bible open so much that you spill something on it so that you can just come back to that page. Like I do, you know, also, there it is. It is God's will. That's kind of very similar to saying this is God's vision. This is God's dream for you. This is God, what God wants for God's people, that you should be sanctified. Now, the word sanctified is a way to understand that. It's a churchy word, but really it means growing in grace. It's a gift that we're able to be on this process of living a life that's holy. It's the process of being made holy. But it's not the arrival at holiness or perfection. It's the on the way times, all along the way where we're growing in this grace, trying to be more and more God's people, trying to live a life pleasing to God and bless others with our lives. To be sanctified, to be made holy. Holy means to be set apart and different from others. And what could get in the way of that? What could stop us from that? Well, he goes on to say this. You should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Now, the word for sexual immorality is the Greek word porneias. Now, there's probably a root word in there that you might want to pay attention to. I don't know, maybe you can figure out what that root word is in your own Greek studies. Exactly. And so we go on to the next slide. How do you do that? Well, you learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Now, the way that this is translated is, and this is my favorite translation from Greek into English, but the way that the Greek expands this meaning, check this out, a vessel to control in holiness and honor. A vessel, your body is a vessel to control in holiness and honor. My vessel just turned 47 years old, young, 47 years young. There, Matt said, say young, 47 years old. Matt just turned 21 years young this past week. And my vessel moving through time is fascinating. Did I get to control this vessel? Here it is, my vessel up here talking to you. Up here, I get that God gave me this wonderful gift to control this vessel, and you too. This week, my vessel went into the library and picked up this book. I'm fascinated by the human body. Here it is, the human body, the story of how we protect, repair, and make ourselves stronger. And I looked in this book, and I'm just fascinated by it. I know we have some doctors and folks that know much more about the body, but the eyes, ears, teeth, heart, blood, limbs, the body of the future. It talks about the medicine cabinet, soap, aspirin, antibiotics, tools and treatments, surgery, microscopes, thestoscopes, x-rays, CT scan, MRI, and the very last chapter is one on vaccines. So I turned to the book, to the chapter on vaccines. And I just got to say, I prayed for the vaccines. I prayed for a vaccine to happen. People pray that there could be a vaccine so that we could have a time together in safety, that we wouldn't have to worry about our kids going back to school, that there could be vaccinations. And did you know this? I didn't know this, but the word vaccina is Latin for cowpox. The word vacca is Latin for cow. Anybody scared of getting cowpox? Anybody? No? No? How about smallpox? Anybody scared of smallpox? You don't have to be afraid, guys. It's eradicated. We don't have smallpox anymore since 1980. No fear of smallpox because of cowpox. Because they learned that, it was a guy named Edward Jenner who found out that people who get cowpox didn't get smallpox. So they could inject just a little bit of cowpox in people, and then they would never get smallpox. Well, smallpox killed millions and millions of people. It was the deadliest disease hundreds of years ago, and up until this vaccine, it was such a scary thing. And so we pray for the vaccine, and we pray that that more and more folks will get vaccinated, that we'll have less and less of this pandemic. And then I read on the last page, by the way, this was written in 2015, okay? And it says this: some people who were not doctors claimed that injecting material from cows was a crime against God. But God created cows. There you go. So it's I find it fascinating, and we're praying and we're hoping for more and more vaccinations. But it's just so interesting that we're given these bodies and how we think about our bodies. There, I'm reminded of what Paul said to the church in Corinth. You know, when it comes to our bodies, you know, thinking about our bodies in Corinth, in Corinthians, you get all that language, you know, about we are Christ's body, and all the different members work together to make up Christ's church. And the church in Corinth, they were acting like they didn't know these things about the body. He says, "Do you not know?" In chapter 6, verse 19. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." This container that you're given to control in honor and holiness is a gift from God to offer up to God as a holy and living sacrifice, we'll talk about in Romans. And the thing is, with that, and the thing that I find so important about that is when we talk about this gift of sanctification, this gift that God gives us about moving towards holiness, and we're given these vessels to control with holiness and honor, what would be the opposite of that? Well, it would be out of control, not in control, and treating them with disrespect or with disregard, or taking advantage of our bodies or other people's bodies, or exploitation of them, or using them to sell things, or however it would be. And so Paul goes on in the very next line. He says, "And that matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." This word for wrong or take advantage is to go beyond or to overreach. So this isn't just about our bodies personally. It's about our community. It's about the need for our community to be a safe place where people are valued for who they are as God's people. And that even the vulnerable, even the weakest among us are taken care of, and they're safe. That's what that means. And then the very last part: you're not called to live an impure life, but a life that's holy, it's sanctified. In the Message translation of this, I love this translation. It says, "God hasn't invited us into a disorderly, grungy life." Yeah. "But into something holy and beautiful, as beautiful on the inside as the outside." So Romans 12 tells us this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, present your bodies, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good pleasing and perfect will. Now, I don't know about you, but and I hate to admit this, but I'm really good at pleasing myself. I really am. Pastor G wanted me to confess that there is a donut place nearby. It's called Duck Donuts. They make warm, hot donuts right out of the oven. You can put bacon on them. And they're not good. They're not good for me, really. But we're good at finding those little things, those little places that are pleasing to us. And the more that I find that it's just pleasing to me and nobody else, well, then that's just really selfish. And that, yeah, I'll share my donuts with everybody. Right? I'm good at pleasing myself. Maybe you are too. I know, and I'm really guilty of this. On the way to something that might seem long and boring, I'll get a nice cup of coffee, and the very best kind. You know, I'll do that kind of thing. And I think we're good at that. We're good at pleasing ourselves, aren't we? And we're really good sometimes at pleasing others. Some people do this really without even thinking about it, but their whole lives are all about making sure that people are happy with us. You don't want to upset anybody. Anybody watching online, no complaints from anybody emailing stuff in. You're just really happy. I want to please everybody. But really, if I'm just pleasing myself or I'm just pleasing others, then that doesn't really satisfy. That's not really the whole picture. Is that we are called to live lives that are pleasing to God. And when we do, when we seek God first and where we really focus with intentionality on pleasing God, living lives that are pure, that are sanctified, that are holy lives, that are pleasing to God, well then that has a way of being pleasing to us. The people that strive to seek God first and God's righteousness and all that they do, all the other things are added unto them. And God's dream, God's vision for God's set apart holy people, it becomes a reality in this place. We can see it. We can catch little glimpses of it, how we're growing in grace. That's so, so important. So I don't know who needed to hear that this morning. Maybe that was you. Maybe you needed to hear that, or maybe you just needed to hear, you're doing this. You're living a life pleasing to God. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. This is on the authority of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for our bodies. God, so often we tend to give you our hearts. We tend to give you our souls. But God, this morning we hear your call that you want our bodies. That you want us to control these vessels with honor, holiness. God, we know all too well as the years pass and as we are aware of people that have come to the end of life and they have left their containers, their vessels behind. God, when that day comes, we know that we might not measure up and that we fall short in so many ways, but God, you remind us once again that we have a Savior. Gave his life to save us. The one that would not leave us behind. Not leave the one behind. So God, help us in our lives today and every day to be intentional about the way we live, to be intentional about our relationships with others. God, lead us and guide us so that one day we might hear you say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." welcome.